didn't stop any number of hopefuls from getting up, or more to the point, being prodded up by their anxious mothers and giving a rather memorable performance. Having had only lessons from Cousin Fenella on the pianoforte and neither an elocution or singing lesson, Charlotte would rather die than get up before the assembled ladies and lords, gossips and dandies, and make a cake of herself. So perhaps it was a good thing that society had forgotten Sir Nestor Wilmot's spinster daughter. She was about to turn away from the overladen salver when a note peeking out from beneath a stack caught her attention, a tiding written in a neat feminine hand and addressed to the Right Honourable, the Viscount Trent. "Sebastian," Charlotte sighed, Hermione's older brother and the heir to the Walbrook earldom. Even as Charlotte rose up on her tiptoes and tried to spy some sort of indication who this missive was from, not that she couldn't make a very educated guess, the door from the back of the house swung open. She straightened immediately, and to her horror, none other than Lord Trent himself strode into the foyer. He was lost in thought and didn't even notice her as she shrank into the nearby curtains. With his arrival, Charlotte went into a deep blush, and that tongue-tied inability to sputter out any word that could be deemed intelligible. "Oh, bother, Charlotte," she chided herself. "Say something, anything." What was it Hermione always said? "Truly, Charlotte, if you would but talk to him, you would discover he is as dull as they come. Mother swears her real son was snatched away at birth, and Sebastian left in his stead, for no child of hers could possess such a sensible nature." A sensible nature? How could Hermione pronounce such a virtue as if it were a sin? Charlotte wondered as she peered out from the shadows of the curtains. Certainly Sebastian's sensibility was one of his most endearing characteristics, in her estimation. He'd taken over the family accounts and properties at an early age, just after his father had departed for his South Seas adventures 10 years earlier. While the Viscount's peers and friends had spent the last decade gadding about, Sebastian had kept the Marlowes afloat with careful management and a tight purse over his mother's and sister's propensity for shopping. Why, just look at what had happened to Charlotte and her mother when her own father had died. There had been no one to manage things, and as a result, they lived with Cousin Fenella. And when Hermione exceeded her pin money, or one of Griffin's scientific experiments went awry and left half of Mayfair shaken from yet another explosion, or Viola brought home yet another stray dog, did Sebastian ever complain? Did he harangue them with lectures? Did his ire overflow into a great rage? Never. What Charlotte observed was a man who loved his family, patiently listening to their various complaints and observations, and kept their scandal-prone and eccentric antics from leaving them completely beyond the pale of the ton. "Say something," she told herself again. Why was it, in the quiet of the night, in her narrow little bed, she could think of 1,000 witty things to say to him? But when she stood before him, opportunity as golden as a shiny new guinea, those fine words scattered like halfpennies tossed to the crowds. Of course, in the shadows of the night, her perfect Sebastian was a bit more rakish, with a pirate's cue and a wicked gleam in his eye. And she was, well, she was dressed in blue velvet. "Oh, Sebastian, you found me," she'd whisper. "I've been waiting for you." Perhaps that might not sound perfectly witty to anyone else, but to Charlotte, just the notion of being able to put a sentence together in the presence of her pirate Viscount sent her heart racing. Then he'd take her hand and draw it to his lips. "Charlotte, my dearest, loveliest Charlotte, will you, dare I?" She'd never considered what might happen next, but it certainly wasn't dull or prudent. And right now, with him just a step away, her imagination raced and she was quickly turning into a quivering bundle of nerves. Never mind that all he was doing was standing before the salver, sorting through the notes.